Pushkin.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. Before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision and her tiny living room, far from Nashville's music row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hey y'all, it's Justin Richmond. Today on the show, we have 27-year-old British singer-songwriter Niloufer Yanya. Niloufer Yanya is a West London native who comes from a background as diverse as her city. All of that finds its way into her music, overlaid with her rich voice. After several years of hitting London's small stages and open mics with her guitar, Niloufer broke through in 2016 with a series of soulful indie pop EPs and singles that started leading to some critical acclaim. I spoke with Niloufer in April, just after her performance at the first weekend of Coachella, about the release of her second album, Painless. The album's tracks, laden with electronic drums and raucous guitar, play like a diary entry, wrenched with heartbreak, loss, and hope. Painless follows Niloufer's debut album, Miss Universe, which also hinted at her fascination with 90s alt-rock melodies. On today's episode, Niloufer shares the collaborative songwriting process she has that created her new album, with her producer Will Archer and friend, saxophonist, and multi-instrumentalist Jazzy Bobby. She also talks about writing her first songs at 10 years old, and about how she always dreamed of being a guitarist in a band, not a solo act. This is Broken Record, liner notes for the digital age. I'm Justin Richmond. Before we get to my conversation with Niloufer Yanya, here's a live performance of her song, The Dealer, with frequent collaborator Jazzy Bobby.
Sadness pick you to the bone. Can't somebody see somebody saves? I might end up here all alone in this mad rush. I need some time to work out who this is. I need to know now who I'm dealing with. What is the kind of patience that breaks your heart? Baby, it's me that's taking this apart. There she goes, cadence set in stone. Patience, there she goes, cadence set in stone.
seems to be with me all the time. Oh, can't tell if this is real. I thought you were someone to rely on. Now that nothing lost, bearing that the winter time is coming back soon. Somebody asks, I hope it's just the summertime you grew attached to. I need some time to work out who this is. I need to know now who I'm dealing with. What is the kind of patience that takes your heart? Baby, it's me that's taking us apart.
Had the chance to see you live yet, unfortunately. I want to correct that soon. So that was my first time sort of seeing you, you know, do something live. And the incredible thing I was realizing as I was listening is, as great as the songs are, you know, in the way that they're uniquely produced, like on the records, like even these, you know, kind of bare versions are just as good, like just in a different way. I would miss the recorded version, but those are so good.
Thank you. I'm glad you think so. You never know if you've gone like too far away from the original version.
Yeah.
It's always fun to like take things out.
It made me wonder how you like write the songs, because they stand alone so well away from the production, but then like on the recordings, there's so much production going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you writing them with all of that stuff in mind, all the stuff that ends up on the record, or do they sort of evolve into what people hear on the releases?
I mean, it depends. Like, broadly speaking, when I'm writing, there's not much production involved at the early stages. Like, I'll just be playing something on guitar or working something out and then taking it to the studio and then working on it from there once I kind of have the song. But for this record, a lot of it was made like in the studio. So I was working with my friend Will Archer, and he had a lot of the, not like all the produced kind of effects in there, but a lot of it was kind of feeding the process as we went along.
Did you write a lot of it in studio?
Yeah, so he had a lot of the guitar parts, this record, with like drums already in there or like effects already in there. Then I'd write over it, I guess.
Was that pretty different from Miss Universe, which was your first record?
Miss Universe was, it was another kind of experiment, I guess, because a lot of the songs were like old songs I'd been working on for a while. And then some of them I was like writing in the studio.
At what point do you bring in like, say, Jazzy? Like, you've written a song, you figure you want it on a record. At what point do you bring someone like her in to like work out parts? And
you mean like for like live shows or
for, I guess, for the records, for the songs?
Well, me and Jazzy wrote a couple of songs together on this record, on the new record. Like, one of them was totally from scratch and one of them was more like, help me, I need help.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess it depends. But when it comes to like doing stuff live, like, I'll take it to my band, Jazzy's my band, and kind of rearrange the songs or like arrange the parts for like the live shows.
On the newest record, you're saying a lot of it was written in studio. So how did that work with Jazz, your band?
When I was working with Jazzy on our song together, we just started from the beginning together and we were writing it together. And then she recorded it and produced it as well.
Which song is that?
Belong With You. Otherwise, Jazzy's not playing on the rest of the record. So me and Will, on most of the songs, we wrote those together, recorded those. I had Ellis, plays drums in my band, come in and redo some of the drum parts. Like, we'd already had the demo drums. Some of them were good enough to like keep, and some of them we were like, let's do live versions of these. And some of them is like a blend.
Which ones did you end up keeping, the demo drums?
Like Chase Me? Maybe demo drums is the right word, but like produced kind
right.
of drums.
No,
yeah.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, the first version of it. Yeah.
Yeah, Chase Me. I'm trying to think now. Stabilize has a blend.
Cool.
Has like the drum machine and live drums.
It's a really cool drum part.
Thank you.
Yeah,
he's always like, why did I make this so hard? When we're doing it live. Maybe the rest of them are like blends, or we have live drums on that instead. Yeah.
Speaking of like the kind of production on this record, there's a part in the song Shameless, like maybe 3/4 of the way through. It sounds like maybe it was a demo version of the song, or just another, it's like you got,
it goes into another world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like piano and oboe or
yeah,
some sort of, yeah, yeah,
instrument. Clarinet.
Clarinet, yeah. There we go, exactly.
That was Will, like I can't really speak for him, so it felt like a very Will section as well, Will part. And that song, I was actually on the fence for a while, like
even about including it.
Yeah, kind of. Well, just how I felt about it, like something about it was almost too honest and like too upfront, and it's like I felt okay writing it, but then when I was listening, like singing it, I was like, I just don't know. But I love it now.
What was it about it that didn't feel right when you're singing it?
I think the lyrics for me, and like the melody, and everything kind of fell in the right place. Too organic.
Got you.
Too simple.
It just fit too well.
Yeah.
I feel like most people would say, like, if the lyrics and the vocal melody like fit really well into the song, like that's like a good match.
I guess so, yeah. But I guess maybe it was like, you know, when something falls into place and then you kind of doubt yourself, you're like, well, should that have been so like easy?
Got you.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe not easy is the right word.
Should have been a bit more of a struggle to figure it out.
But I guess it was meant to be, you know?
Yeah. Not only like is the rhythm in your music cool, but also there's like a dynamic. So many of the songs sound equally kind of loud and raucous and like quiet and beautiful at the same time. Like you're looking to fit opposites together, I guess, you know?
Yeah, always, I think. And it kind of takes me back to how I like used to write when I was just like always working by myself. A lot of the times it kind of be a challenge because you come up with one part for a song and then I'm like, for the chorus, I don't want it to be the same. So I need to come off with other parts. You kind of need to take yourself into another like headspace and like come off a whole other section and then go back to the original things and just see if they fit and see if it works together. But for me, that's how I kept things interesting for myself. So I think maybe finding ways to like keep that. I don't know, I guess that's always stayed with me. Try not to do something that feels too obvious, but I think I'm learning that's totally like what's obvious to me is different to you kind of thing. So sometimes I felt like there's too many different things going on in one song. So it's like how to pull it back and how to simplify it.
Yeah, because even on, I guess, like Midnight Sun, you know, like the ending, you have like this, you know, crazy distortion going. It's amazing sax, beautiful, sweet sounding sax. It makes me smile every time I hear it from Jazzy. And such a cool, interesting contrast. It makes the music such an interesting listen. It just never know what's happening next.
Keeps you on your toes.
Definitely keeps me on my toes.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, that's the point of kind of writing a song. It's like, I'll just get bored otherwise. Like, if it always stays the same, I'll just get, or it has to be a really good reason why it's going to stay like that, or just not trip you up or not surprise you. Maybe I'll get into that phase a bit later.
It sounds like you've kind of had that inclination from the beginning, even listening to like the EPs and stuff. It sounds like that's kind of there. I feel like the aesthetic maybe has changed a little bit, but it sounds like that basic element of your music, the element of surprise has sort of always been there.
Yeah, and it kind of creates like for me like a tension and like a place to go to, like a direction.
Are there other artists that you can think of that do that in a way that's interesting to you?
I mean, I say this one a lot, but like PJ Harvey,
actually
do a cover of Rid of Me at the moment with Jazzy. It sounds really good, I think.
That's a beautiful song.
Thanks. I mean, I didn't write it, so yeah. I can't say thanks.
I've not heard your performance. I bet that's great too. I bet it's also beautiful. But
I agree. No, it's just, I find the way PJ Harvey writes is like, kind of does a lot of that, like tension, pulling and release and like stripping things back and then kind of letting things go. And like, for that, with that song as well, it's like the guitar kind of has this really strong rhythm, and then the voice just does this like kind of crazy thing.
I was surprised that, you know, like a while back I found your cover of the Pixies song Hey.
Yes, I was going to say Pixies, another band.
As you were explaining the way PJ Harvey does, you know, her songs are sort of constructed, I was like, wow, it's kind of similar with even that song. Like, I was surprised you covered it. As you're explaining it, it makes a lot of sense. Like, there's a super strong melody. It's always going different places, that song, you know?
That was one of the first songs I heard when I was like 16, and I was like, wow, like, this makes sense. Like, it makes sense. I kind of see what they're doing, and I want to do the same thing.
Do you remember where you heard it first?
On YouTube.
Nice. Just.
I was at home, I was on YouTube, and I was like, actually, a guitar teacher told me to listen to it. Yeah. He was like, I think you're going to like this band. I was like, okay, cool.
So good. I remember I saw them, you just got done playing Coachella. And I remember the first time I went to Coachella, it was like 2004. Wow. I was like 14.
They were like,
I bailed out telling my mom and like went out there with some friends. And yeah, that was like their reunion show. And I remember I just like fucking was the craziest. Like, just they're insane.
They're
amazing.
Insane. Yeah.
You know?
That's what I like as well, and the lyrics as well. It's totally insane.
I have no idea to this day. I don't want to focus too much on what they are.
Yeah,
some
of the lyrics
are
scary, and like, but some of them make sense. Like, they make sense in weird abstract ways.
There's a devil between us, whores in my head, whores in the door.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
I'm glad it makes sense. It doesn't make any sense,
but it doesn't make immediate sense. But kind of each line kind of means its own thing.
Yeah, and the feeling it evokes, like what it evokes, like it makes emotional sense to me at least. Like,
yeah, emotional sense.
Logical sense, it makes like,
no.
And there might be like a really great meaning, but it makes like logically, I don't know. But yeah, emotionally, I'm like, yeah, it's such a good band. Did you find a lot of bands through like YouTube and stuff?
I think so, yeah, definitely. It was a very good, it worked very well for me.
I still spend too much time on there, going on YouTube holes and like old music that is on there. And you're just like, what is this, you know?
It's really interesting. Visually as well, it's like you get all this different kind of information, like, and then you get the comments. It's just like whole, it's like a whole world.
The comments are though. The comments make me, you know, not really believe in humanity too much, though.
Yeah, I mean, I learned the hard way not to look at video comments.
Before we pause for a quick break, let's hear Niloufer play her song "Midnight Sun" from her new album, Painless.
show me how to spit the real. Link me up the spinning wheel. So maybe I better turn this off. But drums you off. Stop by the say. Do it the drop over. And now when it's not okay, come keep my eyes closed too long. And never will not invade. And never try explain. Do you hear all the same? Come keep my hands up far from. It's not like the say. Is raised by common fears, hiding diamonds up their sleeves. Always I did it for you, never felt so sure. You're my best machine, you're my midnight sun. Always I did it for you.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer helped shape the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bacharach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast, Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest.
We're back with my conversation with Nila Furuya. When did you first start writing songs?
Probably I was quite young. I had like lots of notebooks. I would just like write lyrics in.
Like as poetry or as?
No, like as a song. But okay. I didn't have, like I was just, I either hadn't started learning guitar yet or I didn't. I just imagined the parts and just heard them in my head kind of thing.
How old would you have been?
10. Like before I went to high school. Yeah, I wasn't playing guitar then. So I was just kind of writing songs, but they weren't real songs.
What inspired you at 10 to be writing songs? That's ambitious.
I just thought like bands were really cool. The idea of like a rock band was really cool. And I really wanted to play guitar and be in the band. I didn't want to sing them.
So you wanted to be a guitar player?
Yeah, playing guitar in the band. And then I thought, you know, if you have a band, you have to write the songs. So yeah, I was always interested in the songwriting.
Is there a band or a group of bands early on that would have?
Yeah, like Blink-182. Like
Blink-182? Okay.
Yeah, when I was younger, like, yeah, they're one of my favorites.
What you do is so far away from that.
Yeah, I think I've, you know, changed since then, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is when I was like, you know, 9.
Yeah, yeah. That's 10. A good age to be into Blink. That's the appropriate age. I mean, you know, some very catchy songs, you know?
Yeah, and they had loads of good guitar parts and melodies. Just loved the sound of the guitar.
That's funny because I feel like pop punk's an adjective that comes up a lot. It's come up a lot, like when I'm reading stuff about you. It's never occurred to me, like when I listen.
I mean, I was very young, so.
Yeah. Understood. So if you start writing songs at 10, but really without like a melody, just sort of writing words, but imagining their songs, when do you get a guitar?
I started playing guitar maybe like 11, 12, just kind of like messing around on it first at home. It was like some random guitar my granddad had given my sister. I think it had all the strings and it was not very good, but it worked.
Right.
It worked. And I thought it sounded really good. And then I started having some lessons at school. I took it from there.
Was any of your family musically inclined?
Yeah, I would say everyone was kind of musically inclined. My uncle, he's a producer and like musician and writer. So he was another guy who played guitar, played bass, made lots of music, had a studio.
Where at? Where was the studio?
He was working in London for a while in like Acton. And then they moved like out to the countryside. He built his own studio.
Cool. Did he do anything we would know?
He did a lot of like Spanish acts.
Spanish pop or?
Spanish pop rock, I guess. And then he was like in some like Brit funk bands when he was younger. I don't know if there's anyone you would know, but his name's Joseph Dvorniak. He would show me stuff on guitar. He would encourage me as well. And then my parents are like visual artists. So my mum got me into piano when I was younger because she loved piano. Started doing that from like 7 years old.
Cool.
My dad, he's Turkish, so he loves Turkish music. He was like musically inclined because he'd always be playing the saz.
What's the saz?
Kind of a folk instrument.
Like an oud or something?
Not too far away.
6 strings?
5 groups of strings, but they come in groups of like 3. So they're all tuned to like the same peg.
So it sounds like a double string guitar kind
of-ish. Yeah, it's a lot like has a lot richer sound, but yeah, like kind of thinner sound as well.
Yeah. That's rad. Did you appreciate the Turkish music you were hearing growing up?
I don't think I did when I was younger. Yeah, because I didn't really get it because he played a lot of like kind of classical traditional stuff. And it was a bit like my mom was really into like getting me into like Mozart. And I was like, you can hear the melodies and you can understand that. But like, I didn't really like appreciate it. I'm very grateful to have had it exposed.
Very cool. When did you start performing?
I started doing like open mics just by myself. I just left school. So maybe 18, around that time.
So within the last 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay. How was it going from like just writing songs, you know, by yourself to performing them?
It was abstract. Like it was totally weird. Like I knew if I wanted to do music, I would have to kind of get used to the idea of performing. So I was really pushing myself to just get good at it, I guess, and feel comfortable with it. But it was really strange because like you write something, you're playing at home, you're singing at home, or like even like recording like demos.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it sounds so different to how I imagine it. Why is that? And then you play it on stage and like it sounds so different to how I imagine it.
Had you been recording demos at that point?
Yeah, I'd done a few demos at school with my friends for music class, I guess, as well. And then I did record a song at my uncle's studio as well. Like, yeah, that was cool.
Did it ever come out or no?
It was on YouTube for a long time.
It's down.
With
it
a video
now?
As well, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Love to hear that.
Oh my God, no.
Did performing then, did it change the way you wrote after that?
I think so, a little bit, yeah. Because in my head, I guess, I was always writing for like an imaginary band. So like the guitar parts I wrote were like more like little riff. And then when I was on stage, I was like, oh my God, like how is this? It's kind of hard to, sometimes it doesn't have all the components of like rhythm like too strongly in there. So kind of building an accompaniment for the voice is different for like building parts of the guitar.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know if it changed it too much. I was kind of aware of it. It probably definitely all feeds into the process.
Your guitar playing is super rhythmic.
Thank you.
I feel like I can hear the drum parts, even if there's no drums involved, cool. You know? When did you give up on the band dream? Like just being a guitarist?
No, I did have some bands at school, yeah. At the beginning, I was like, no, I'm not singing, not singing. And then when I got a bit older, I was like, well, they're my songs, so I have to sing them.
And you met Jazzy, who played sax for us here, at school, right?
Yeah. We met on a music tour.
What is that? What's music tour?
Our school had a really cool music department. And I think it was when I was 13, me and Jazzy became friends because we were sharing a hotel room.
What'd you guys bond over?
I think just the experience, I guess. And like, yeah, we were in Prague.
So you're performing these songs and you're writing songs not all that long ago, 8-9 years ago. When did it happen that you got signed and were able to record your first record?
So I got signed to my label, I want to say like 2017, 18.
How did that come about?
I was releasing EPs up until that point with another label, but it wasn't like a steal.
You were just part of like more of a collective?
Yeah, it was more a bit more relaxed, but we were releasing EPs and that was really fun. I was like, start to think about like, okay, album next, like how do I want to do this? Who should I work with? I was trying to find new labels or find different labels. For me, the EP part was like really exciting because it's like to get from like having no kind of connections to releasing music physically, like vinyls as well. That felt like a big jump. But like going from the EP to the album kind of made more sense because it's like I kind of already had a manager in place, already had kind of connections and people helping me.
Yeah.
But I think before that, getting to the EP stage was like, how am I going to do this?
Yeah, right.
This
right.
is really hard.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where did you record those EPs?
In London, yeah.
Like at home or in a studio?
With different producers that I was working with at the time. I hadn't like found like one person that I was like, this is person. Like, we're going to make all the music together. I was kind of like trying out different engineers, different producers, making a lot of demos.
We'll be right back with more from Nila Furjanja after a quick break. Before we get back to the rest of my conversation with Nila Furjanja, let's hear a live performance of one of her newest songs, Chase Me.
There's nothing that I need no more. Chases let me make. Spaces I gon' make it halfway to you, babe, it's not my style. For corridors, your love will chase me. For you, babe, it's been a while. For you, baby, I'll go hazy, hazy, hazy. And I can't make no friends, cause I can't make no sense, cause I can't play pretend. It feels like so bad coming. And it feels like a soul that is scoring. It feels like a soul that is gone. And it feels like a ghost that is sung. As these lines are very drawn. And it feels like a ghost that is sung. It's nothing that I need no more. Traces let me make halfway. You, babe, it's nothing I want anymore. Spaces are gonna make it halfway. To you, babe, it's not my style. For corridors, your love will chase me. For you, babe, it's been a while. For you, babe, I'll go hazy, hazy,
hazy. It's not the way you went, it's not the way you said it, it's not the way we meant. It feels like a saw red calling, and it feels like a saw red scarring. It feels like a saw red calling, and it feels like a cold set of sun. As if this is already drawn, and it feels like a cold set of sun. It's nothing that I need no more. Traces, let me make it halfway to you, baby. It's nothing I want anymore. Spaces are gonna make it halfway to you, baby. It's not my style. Through corridors where love will chase me, to you, baby, it's been a while. To you, baby, I'll go hazy, hazy, hazy. Did it too long, did it too long, did it too long. It's nothing wrong. Did it too long, did it too long, did it too long. It's nothing wrong.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is Accelerating Innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer helped shape the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bacharach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast, Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Tell me a little bit about how Coachella went. That's kind of a pretty big gig, right?
It was interesting. A lot of traveling. And then the changeover is like really quick. So lots of things went wrong in that changeover. I had to cut a song. Like just things weren't working because it was like first gig of the tour. So lots of things are going to go wrong. But we pulled it off, I think. Yeah, and I had fun. And like the crowd was nice. It was just like, it was a quite overwhelming experience.
You mean you've done other festival dates?
Yeah.
Did it feel different?
The last thing we did was like a EU and UK tour. The change from that to like just straight a festival, everything's a mess.
Yeah.
It's totally kind of different. I was like, oh, can't hear anything. It's kind of what festivals are like generally.
It's kind of chaotic mess.
Very chaotic. And yeah, the crowd seems to enjoy it. So can't really complain, I guess.
Following you on like on Instagram and such, seems like you travel quite a bit. And I'm curious, like what, like how travel either just informs you as a person and maybe also informs your music, if at all. Like, it seems like it's an important part of your life, right?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, definitely with music, like being able to travel and play shows in different places, especially like during the pandemic, like I kind of realized how massive that is of a privilege to be able to do that. Not everyone gets to travel and not everyone gets to travel because of their job or their music. So it feels, it's really amazing when those two things come together. I just never want to take that for granted, I guess. And then it's just I just think it's a great thing to be able to do, like when you can. I have family in different places, so also feels a bit like necessity, I guess. That old saying that people say about broadening your mind, it really does. Because it physically, you take yourself out of your everyday environment. And then when you're somewhere totally different, you can't think about normal things because you're just so like caught up in the moment of, oh, how do I do this? Or where do I go? Or like, how does this work?
You're always having to improvise.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your family at?
I have some family in Turkey. I haven't seen them in a while, so I'd like to do that next. My mom's from Barbados, an island, so I have plans to go to the Caribbean soon.
Wow, Barbados. Then, yeah. Amazing.
We used to go to Ireland quite a bit when I was younger. I think, everyone in my family kind of likes moving as well. So
really?
Yeah, kind of. Not moving like physically, like moving house, but just movement.
Being on the move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of my immediate family, they all live in London.
Did you feel like steeped in all the like various cultures growing up, or did you just feel English?
It's interesting. Yeah. I don't really, it's kind of hard to remember, I guess, exactly what you feel like. But I was aware of like these two very different things happening in my family and like two different kind of sides, I guess, to it. Because like my mom's side, she grew up in London. So I think she very much has that identity, and my dad came from Istanbul and like very much carries that identity with him. So on one side, my mom's family was Catholic and my dad's Muslim. Those two things alone are like, this is very different, and you kind of sense that growing up. But I think the beauty of like growing up in London is that everyone comes from different places, so you don't feel like you have to kind of be one thing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
You can embrace the clash.
Yeah,
of
yeah, you can embrace the clash. Definitely have to try to anyway, so.
But that's fascinating. I mean, that's wildly different. It was like wildly different just day to day, like the way as a Muslim and as a Catholic, you kind
just
of
like things like Christmas, I was always like, like,
how did that work?
Well, my dad would always go to Turkey to see his family then because he was teaching as well. So he had like time off when there were holidays in the UK. So he'd always go see his family. And then it'd be with my mom's family.
Say, fuck Christmas, I'm out.
No, I used to love Christmas. But it's like that you get that sense like, oh, I'm not meant to, I'm not supposed to, or this isn't really my culture. But it is at the same time, so.
As you do get older, you realize like there is an individual self that exists alongside those things. I'm next to it, but I'm not necessarily, you know, doesn't dictate everything in my life.
Yeah, and I think that's where music like always helped me stay kind of sane, because it's like that's my own thing, kind of just for me in a way. And it's always helped me understand or even like push me to do things I wouldn't do, or like kind of just grow. But it doesn't have to connect with where you come from, or like your cultural identities or religion. Like it doesn't have to connect with those things unless you want it to. Writing music always felt like I didn't have to do that. I mean, like no one asked me to, do you know what I mean? It's like I just enjoyed it and I thought it was fun, and like I knew it's what I wanted to do. It didn't really make sense to like anyone else, I think. It was kind of like my own thing. Yeah, like for a while I was like stuck between like art and music. Like what should I do at like uni, or like what should I study?
It's really ambitious to be like 10. And like I loved music when I was 10, but I was not writing, you know, songs or attempting to write songs when I was 10. And then like by the time you're 16, 17, you're out performing and like you're like, this is what I want to do. And this is my thing. Like that's a really I don't know, evolved like way to approach something that you enjoy. You know, like most people enjoy things and like they just participate at the fan level and you're like, you know, I don't know necessarily how, or but I'm going to make this, and I'm going to do it.
That's what's interesting about kids, I guess. It's like, how did they come up with these ideas? Like,
you're still perplexed by it.
Yeah. I guess I just felt like I had to do it. I think also in like, no, when I kind of was getting, like growing up, I was quite like shy and reserved. So it's like, I still am like that. I knew like if I didn't do it, I was never going to do it, kind of thing.
Like if you just didn't jump.
Yeah, if I didn't make myself do it, then I might not ever do it. I was quite like had a lot of that kind of natural like desire to like want to please people, I think. But I was also kind of aware of like maybe like what I actually wanted to do for myself. So it's like I could always do things that people tell you to do, but then you can also just also do your own thing.
So music was like a subtle way of rebelling against
that. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
People-pleasing tendency. And then you felt like if you didn't jump right in and like push yourself to do shows, which you might feel like you're otherwise too shy to do, like you maybe would lose all of it. Like maybe you wouldn't just write songs by yourself. Who knows what you would miss out on, right?
Yeah.
Do you think you would have kept writing just kind of personally, like as a hobby or just for personal fulfillment if you hadn't pursued it
professionally? Yeah. And I kind of wonder, like, that would kind of also be interesting because maybe I'd be better at something else. Maybe I'd be good at doing two things.
What do you think it would be?
I don't know. Like, what if I was, like, writing books? Or maybe my songwriting would have evolved just differently. Like, I don't know why I felt the rush and the panic.
Yeah, yeah.
To do it. Like, I could have just taken my time.
It's impressive, though. It's really impressive.
I guess so.
Do you still feel a certain amount of innate pressure on yourself or like you're in a bit of a hurry to do things? Like,
yeah.
Do you feel like you got to keep moving or else are you going to stall?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm trying to like tell myself like it's not real. That's just what's in my head. Like you can stall or you can stop. You can break.
You can relax.
Yeah. You can relax now.
You can just call it relaxing a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I always aim to like work more slowly. That's like my current aim, like all the time, take more time, make it slow, like don't rush it.
Yeah. Are you making stuff now? Like, are you always writing?
I'm not really writing at the moment. I keep having like weird dreams where I'm like writing songs. So like, I've never really done that before, like written something that I've heard in a dream, but like I've been trying to because I keep hearing stuff.
Oh, you gotta take it down.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, when you wake up, your voice is like,
yeah.
You're like recording into your phone, like,
That's how I sounded this morning. I always think of like Satisfaction was written that way. I read in a book. Keith Richards was like asleep, like dead asleep, and like dreamt like of the song, and then like woke up and was like, oh fuck, and like grabbed a recorder and like just like bum bum ba ba bum ba da da da. And I was like, fuck, like imagine if Keith Richards didn't stumble out of bed from some hotel room, you know, probably, you know, fucked up and record that, like goddamn, we wouldn't have that song.
It kind of comes from the same kind of place. It's like instinctive kind of melody and just idea. So it's like when you're asleep or awake, it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah, it, I mean, it's all, I'm sure, equally good and equally bad ideas.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
Come in your sleep, you know, and out of sleep.
Yeah
It's definitely that place where you're turned off to the conscious mind.
Yeah, it kind of makes more sense if you're dreaming.
Yeah.
When people are like, it just appeared, it just fell from the sky. It's like, how?
I feel like maybe you got to sleep with the recorder. I mean, you have your phone.
Yeah.
You got to just do it.
Yeah, it's true.
Cool. Well, thank you for taking the time to play some stuff
thank
for
you.
Us. Thank you.
It was a real pleasure. Yeah.
Catch you next time. Thanks to Nila Furuya for coming on Broken Record to talk about her life, career, and her latest album. You can hear all of our favorite Nila Furuya songs on a playlist at BrokenRecordPodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at YouTube.com/BrokenRecordPodcast, where you can find all of our new episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at Broken Record. Broken Record is produced with help from Leah Rose, Jason Gambrell, Ben Tolliday, Eric Sandler, and Jennifer Sanchez, with engineering help from Nick Chafee. Our executive producer is Mia Lobel. Broken Record is a production of Pushkin Industries. If you like this show and others from Pushkin, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus. Pushkin Plus is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and uninterrupted ad-free listening for $4.99 a month. Look for Pushkin Plus on Apple Podcast subscriptions.
And if you like the show, please remember to share, rate, and review us on your podcast app. Our theme music's by Kenny Beats. I'm Justin Richmond.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to musora.com, M-U-S-O-R-A.com, to start a new musical journey today. The tradition of breaking tradition continues with the return of the Unconventional Awards from T-Mobile for Business at Mobile World Congress. This is an event that celebrates innovators whose bold actions took their industries to new places. If that sounds like you and you're a T-Mobile for Business customer, enter today. If you win, you'll be publicly honored among some of the most influential leaders in industry. And me, I'll be there too. Enter now at tmobile.com/unconventional awards. See you there.